This is the podcast that rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. For August 20th, 2024, my name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
That was actually much smoother than we've had before the last several times. We're getting
into the groove.
Exactly. We're getting better at this, is what to say. I always said this is a work in progress and we're not professionals by any means. Most of these are just, I have a dog snoring behind me to show you how professional this is. So some of you can relate. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all had a fantastic week. We set a goal for 45 likes. If we get 45 likes, as it's the pinned comments, we will play Festival Rock or Flop. Last week was a beyond successful 100% success rate for an amazing one-day festival we booked featuring Alice in Chains, Queens of the Stone Age, Chevelle, Baroness, and In This Moment. If you all remember.
Beer sold out.
I know. It did sell out. Everyone said they would go. We could make money off that. The festivals before that, the previous week, the first initial week, did not do as well. So we're hoping to get something good this time. If we hit 45 likes, we will do that for sure. Thank you all for hanging out and tuning in with us. There's a decent amount of rock news and metal news and alternative news that we're going to go through in this hour. Anything you guys would like to say before we start going through it?
I don't want to flop.
Exactly. Well, we got to get to 45 likes and then we'll find out. Good. We'll find out what that random generator has. I add in more bands and we'll get to that later. So
I don't know if you could ever find something worse than that first episode. Like, seriously,
it was shocking. I do remember it getting worse as it went on, and it ended with Insane Clown Posse.
Clown Posse and Puddle of Mud and Stained.
It was Stained and Insane Clown Posse. I do remember that. Woof. Okay. Yeah. So
flop, if there ever was a definition.
It was a flop. Yes. Yeah. From inception. Yes.
I'm just saying nothing can be worse than that. So we have that to look forward
to. That's true. That is a bottom measuring stick, like at the bottom.
Yeah.
We know we're getting better.
We need
45 likes. We need to beat it.
45 likes. I say we might get better. Guys, I know some other bands that are in that folder. Don't try to put that out there. It could get worse. So, thank you guys very much. We will answer any super chat questions you have. Anything you have goes directly to supporting the podcast. We do have some bills to pay. Well, we'll present this nicely, so that would help out a ton. Someone just said Stained Clown Posse. Wow, that's a nightmare. We need to get into the news. Okay. Let's shake that one off. The big news that happened over this past weekend was a one-day spectacle of a show in San Francisco that now three of us got to go to, and we're all pretty upset about it. San Francisco and Deftones left their hearts at San Francisco, as quoted by Knotfest. And from what most people are saying, this was exactly what you would want for a one-day festival. And that is awesome to hear.
And what a location.
I know. This was at Golden Gate Park. I was telling my two friends here, I've been to that park in 2009. And it is amazing for a lot of different reasons. It's a cultural and physical meeting point of all latitude and longitude, to where any plant, rose, tree can grow there for just the perfect spot on the country and on the planet. They have plants and flowers and trees from Japan, Europe, Australia, all brought there. And this past weekend, they laid it out so System of a Down and Deftones could get all rowdy at it. I think that's wonderful. So,
oh, yeah.
Now, I say this because we joked around before, but from what I've seen in footage, what I've seen from fan reactions, outside of it taking a while for fans to get in, from what I understand, like getting fans into the park and like getting them to barricade and the zones in the park, that took a little bit longer than expected. Other than that, this was apparently the show to be at, because they had over 50,000. I don't even think that park was supposed to be that big, to be honest. I don't know how they did it. Yeah.
I mean, like, who could turn down that lineup?
I know.
Like, actually.
If I had the funds for the flight, I would have done it. And that's the only reason why that was holding me back this time. This one would have been one to drive to. But like, if it's like, okay, I'm on the opposite side of the country. Alex, I still think that's a massive drive for you. So I don't even think that's possible for where you are either. So
bit of a drive.
Yes, that is a big show, though. And as soon as I saw it, I was instantly jealous. But going through some of the photos, Knotfest and San Francisco Chronicle, the local paper there, they all were reporting the same thing. This was a unique set. There were so many things that played. I mean, Deftones playing songs from White Pony, the Mars Volta going through their hits and catalog, System of a Down doing what they do best and really giving the hits, which is what we saw at Sick New World, too. My question for you, two specifically, System of a Down has had several successful performances, both Sick New Worlds and now this one-off in San Francisco. Do you think there's any chance of actually having a tour at this point?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I am inclined to say yes. Because, like, I don't know if it's just because, like, I've only been aware of just, like, their hiatus when it comes to, like, new music, like, more recently.
Right.
Like, but, I don't know. I feel like just, like, in the last couple of years, they have shown that they are getting better at working together again. I mean, like, remember back in 2019 where they just, like, or not 2020, when yes. they shadow dropped just, like, two new songs. It was, like, yes. first in, like, 13 years.
They were for a charity foundation also for Armenia and things like that as well. I do remember, yeah.
They were, yeah, but it still shows that they are able to kind of, like, you know, put aside their differences and work together.
Yes.
So,
and I'm aware there are still many differences, especially with their drummer, who has wildly ranging different opinions politically, both domestically and internationally, with the rest of the band, who's already a politically charged band. So that yeah. right there causes a lot of discourse.
Especially with this like year.
Yes. I do wonder, though, after seeing this much success, after San Francisco getting completely rolled over and then raking in boatloads of money and proving the fans still want it, would that be enough to open their eyes? And Alex, yeah, exactly. I mean, with Alex was a Sick New World as well. This was not a small feat. They saw the same band the year before Sick New World. The same people wanted the same band to headline, and they were there for it. There's an audience for System of a Down still. I don't know what it's going to take. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. I know they won't play on Saturday Night Live ever again, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. So
I think that doing these big one-offs, because they're really big one-offs,
yeah.
I think they prefer that. Obviously, we have no idea what they think or what they feel, but right. it works. Like you said, they headlined Sick New World and then Sick New World and everybody still came.
Yes.
And then they do this one-off festival and draw 50,000 people. So I don't know. I don't think they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously money wise. And I don't know if they would necessarily be able to hang out for that long.
Yeah.
In one.
And that's fair also. I mean, think if they started doing that more often though. And this was scheduled out for quite a while. What if they wanted to have like one big one in DC, one huge one in Chicago or St. Louis, one in Phoenix, one just like throughout 5 years even. And that's very long-term thinking. But if they did two or three big shows a year, especially like this, and it's not a festival where System of a Down gets most of the money because it's not under a festival brand or anything like that. That's genius business sense from one band. And then to get all these other bands in on it as well, not have to pay it out for other festivals and stuff and do it at pre-existing venues. That's pretty awesome. And that could set a good precedent for other bands to do this as well. Like Metallica doing the Metallica weekends, a show on Thursday, a show on Saturday or whatever it is for like their long running tour from last year going into this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And I think it makes it more special, too.
It does. It definitely does. Since like, and also San Francisco is a tourist town. That's a town that people would stay in for the weekend and want to travel around and see some of the sights. If they, no offense to this, if they did it in Mississippi, it's not going to have the same appeal for tourists. No. I say that coming from Missouri, and I'm aware St. Louis is great, but a lot of Missouri is flyover, meaning you don't want to go there anyway. There's nothing. So I say this now as another question before we move on into the side thing on this. If you had a band that you think would do well touring with System of a Down or doing another one-off, because I don't know if they do Deftones and the Mars Volta again. If they did another one-off, though, who do you think would be a good fit for System of a Down? I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about this. I don't know who the answer is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like think. I'm seriously like, honestly, like I know you can't do it really, but like honestly, part of me was thinking Linkin Park, like right off the top of my head.
New Linkin Park with the new singer. Whoever that's going to be. Boy, would that be a debut. System of Down and Linkin Park with a new singer and wherever. Doesn't need to be a festival. People would fly for that.
That's like an event in itself.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just two events really together.
Yeah. Someone said Kansas. We got some in Kansas City too. Some KC fans also. Yes, very true. Let us know in the comments and chat live what a good band to tour with would be, or not tour with, for the one-off, System of a Down one-off would be to join with that if they have another one. Because from the looks of it, correct me if I'm wrong, Sick New World is going to happen next year as well, from what I understand. And I'm assuming System of a Down will be that a part of that as well. Those will be a bunch of bands with that. Yeah, so.
And we've seen Slipknot and System of a Down, but I mean, that's a fun pairing and people will travel to see that.
It is.
I'm not saying for Sick New World. I'm saying for another one-off.
Right. For a one-off. Exactly. So we should see what that would be, because I think that'd be awesome. There's a lot of good ideas that, if I'm correct, the first Sick New World was System of a Down Deftones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. So Slipknot could be a good one. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Why did I not think of that? Korn, because that would get a lot of people to travel to. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
That would fit well.
Someone said Tool.
Someone just said Tool in the chat. Honestly, that'd be a good visual with that too. It'd be a good balance to it, but also the same audience. There is some overlap between Tool and System fans.
And solid fan bases. So yeah, that would totally draw.
Solid, non-obnoxious fan bases. Very nice. I'm just kidding. I'm a big Tool fan. There are some obnoxious Tool fans, I'm aware. I'm very aware.
Since there's talks of, like, there's also been, like, you know, new Slayer shows and all that stuff. What if it was, like, Slayer and System of a Down for just a big event? I feel like that would work, too.
Yes, it would work. The poor venue, the security, and the grounds after. Yikes. They could not do that. Not Golden Gate Park. Don't do that to the nature there. Somewhere else. A field somewhere. I don't care where.
Don't hurt the flowers.
Yes. We really want to validate all the people who still think that, like, metal is like satanic or something like that. Yeah. That would be the show to point them towards.
Metal causes anger and it just pure frustration and rage makes you angry. Yeah, that'd be the one. So I also want to segue into something because we're talking about System of a Down. Chavo's new project has more and more coming out. I got a screenshot right now on screen with three of us of 7 Hours After Violet. This was the song a couple months ago that was released called Paradise. Have either of you really checked out 7 Hours After Violet, Chavo's makeshift supergroup new project?
I mean, we only have
two
the
songs.
First single.
Yep.
Well, the second one,
the second one's not out yet.
Thursday.
Yeah, not yet, but
yeah.
I'm going to be honest. This announcement was the first time I even learned he had a super group.
Gotcha. It's still new.
I'm not going to lie.
I mean, they only have one song. Yeah. They did announce more coming out. I dig it. This is heavy. This is heavier, more traditional metal than System of a Down.
Honestly, I trust in Chavo because honestly, I say this like as a bass player and just someone who's been appreciated their music for so long. Mm-hmm. Chavo's bass lines are actually really good. The guy plays like really fast, but also like melodic.
Yeah.
It's just like, he doesn't get enough credit as a bassist, in my opinion.
He is great.
It's super rad because you can totally hear Chavo from the gate, from the get-go on the first single.
They let him also shine a little bit, both in System of a Down, but also 7 Hours After Violet. You can tell his presence is there from the very beginning and also throughout the song. So he is deeply involved with all of this. And as fellow bass players, we all can agree, it's nice to see the bass player get a little bit of attention and show that they matter.
Super rad. And the namesake 7 Hours After Violet is actually from Chavo, Shav.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another nod to the bass.
Oh my god,
seven Hours After Violet. I would not have put that together for a while.
I wasn't even looking for that.
Yep, it's neat. I mean, you can hear it, you can feel it, and I love the groove that we've got coming out of the gate with Paradise.
Yes.
I love the heaviness of it. Like you said, Luke, it's heavier than,
it is.
You know.
And it's great. It's not just System of a Down part two or a side thing from System of a Down that sounds just like it. It's different.
Well, that's good.
And that's good. Yeah, it is good. I agree.
Yeah.
It's different in great ways. I'm not saying better or worse, but it's different in really positive ways. So I'll put that on the website for the link, but also just check out and keep an eye out for 7 Hours After Violet. If you can't remember that, just remember Chavo, Shavo. And type that in and then you're set.
There you go.
It's definitely worth checking out, guys. It really is awesome. So thank you guys for hanging out.
And the new single drops on Thursday.
New one on Thursday. I'll share that out when I get the press release for it. As of now, we are at 31 likes. If we get to 45, we'll do Festival Rock or Flop, like I said before. So if 14 of you hit the like button that have not already, we'll be sure to do it at the end of the podcast. It's just a friendly reminder. And also any super chat questions you have, we'll answer at the end as well. As we move on, we now have to go to the bad news before we get to the good news. And this is something that happened last week or the very end of last week. We lost another from the 70s and 80s, mainly Great White's Jack Russell. So hold one up for Jack Russell, dead at 63, too young. And this is Great White is a band that did not get all of the credit they deserve because they were just paired and put in the same camp of glam rock, hair metal, of all the juggernauts like the Guns N' Roses, like the Motley Crue, like the Van Halen of the 80s, you know. And I think that's a bit unfair because they had platinum album. They had other stuff too. I would
ask. They had some really solid tracks.
They did. And I'll read the little quote right now. With tremendous sadness, we announce the loss of our beloved Jack Patrick Russell, father, husband, cousin, uncle, and friend. Sorry. The post began before noting that the rocker passed peacefully in the presence of his family. Jack is loved and remembered for his sense of humor, exceptional zest for life, and unshakable contribution to rock and roll, where his legacy will forever thrive. Correct me if I'm wrong, and chat, that goes for you too. I don't know many terrible rock star stories about Jack Russell over the last 20 years, 30 years. And we've heard a lot of those coming out of the hair metal age. We hear about all the ups and downs, the tragedies going on through stuff like Motley Crue, all the shakeups in Guns N' Roses. There's a lot of bands like this that were not as infamous, regardless of the music, put the music aside, infamous, that don't get enough credit. And again, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a super diehard Jack Russell aficionado in his personal life and everything. But this should be another one remembered for a singer that was, you know, interesting. And he served time before Great White as well. So it's kind of is kind of like a coming or redemption story.
Which well, is and one of the craziest stories about Great White that I recently learned, I didn't know this had happened, but Great White performed at a club in Rhode Island in like 2003.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I read that same thing.
Pyro accident. And it ended up killing 100 people in the club. And then 230 people were also injured at this club because the pyro went off, got in the ceiling, and the place went up in flames barely over 5 minutes. And so many people passed away. It's like the largest fireworks accident in U.S. history, or at least one of them for sure. And
was that venue still standing after that?
I have no idea. Probably not.
Yeah.
If it took out 100 people, no way.
Yeah, there's no chance. Yeah. And it was, the station fire is what it's called. And it killed a lot of people. The guitarist of the band at the time actually passed away in the fire as well.
See, I do remember someone passing away. I didn't know it was from a horrific tragedy. That's wild. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Just like you, I didn't know about that until like just a couple of days ago when like the story first broke of his passing. And I just looked him up in general just because I was like curious because I said this before to these guys on our Discord channel that we kind of like just talk. But like I did actually get to interact with Jack Russell.
Okay.
A couple years back. So just a little bit of backstory. I used to work for another photographer, a guy named Mark Weiss. Any rock historians in the chat, he's the guy who shot Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet album cover.
A very established photographer, both in the concert world and just photography world in general.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. So I was his assistant for a couple of years back. And then one of the first jobs I did with him, he was doing like this big gallery event for like a Halloween show. And he was interviewing a bunch of rock stars that he's like worked with. And Jack Russell was one of them. And so this was 2020. So we were still sort of in the height of COVID. So while we were in the gallery space, my boss is using like this, it's not even Zoom, it's like this weird third party software to like screen record the call with Jack.
Okay.
So So, like, you know, it looks terrible. It's at, like, 144p, and he's, like, mad and all that stuff, because, like, again, it looks like crap. He can't use this footage. So he's, like, calling... He's like calling like the guy who set up the app like up. He's yelling at me because he's trying to see like, hey, do you know how to fix this? Like, I've never even seen this before. And during this entire time, Jack is just like on his boat getting drunk.
To be fair, if you're retired and you have a boat, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, no, that's just how the interview was.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've always heard about Jack Russell was he was like a solid rock star. Like he knew the music was super important, but he also knew that you had to have fun.
Yes.
He was always that kind of dynamic kind of guy.
And also,
yeah. You know, he was just like chilling there as my boss was like losing his mind.
That sounds right. That also sounds like many interviews in the industry. Alex, you could probably assume that. So you're trying to interview someone and there's chaos going on and you're trying to figure it out.
So many bad stories.
The lost interviews that you have to scrap because they don't work out. Mm-hmm. Also, several people in the chat confirmed, that venue's gone.
Yeah.
That sounds about right to me from what I just heard. So, Jack also... The fact that he went peacefully, I know he had health issues leading up to it, but the fact that he went peacefully, that is a blessing after surviving so much. So...
Yep.
Again, hold on out for Jack White. Or Jack White. Wow. Should I cut that from the podcast or not? Jack Russell, Jack White is fine.
Well, you can. It's understandable. You know, great white. So, like, I understand. Don't beat yourself up, buddy.
Yeah. Well.
Happens.
Uh-huh. Jack Russell, not Jack White. It's going to catch up on the pod on the feed, too. Also, we're 37 likes. Please hit the like button if you're going to let me forget that slip up. Thanks. OK,
honestly, if we ever do like a little blooper or something, like a little blooper reel, that's
blooper reel for a death.
I don't know.
Miss death. Yikes.
That's a big one, man. Come on.
It is.
People like dark humor.
That's true. This is the site for that. Someone's saying in the chat room, too, there's footage of the fire on YouTube. That's terrible.
Jesus.
Who's loading?
Why? Like,
why would you even upload that on YouTube? I'm not saying the person is the one, but. Ugh.
How does YouTube allow that?
Stories for days about what YouTube allows and doesn't allow. I want to play. I want to play 30 seconds of Gojira at the Olympics. No. Fire that kills 100 people. Okay. Moving
it's
on.
Getting a lot of views.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. That's what YouTube gets money out of it. Talking. Yeah. So.
Yeah. If you get a lot of views, YouTube will just like they'll just give you a slap on the wrist
or a high five. One of the two.
Jeez.
Let's move on to happier news, but this is more speculation at this point, but in a positive way. Several members of Tool, including one, Maynard James Keenan and Justin Chancellor, have said that Tool appear to be working on new music. Now, this is something that's been said many, many, many times over the last 20 years. Sometimes it's preceded by a decade of silence. But this time it does look like they're working on new music after 2019's Fear Inoculum. So I leave it up to you two as well, to get your voices and you in the chat room as well. Do you think we'll hear new Tool by the end of next year, by the end of 2025?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Like, I know until Fear Inoculum like came out, it was just a joke that like Tool will release like new music. But now that that's out, I don't think the people in Tool want to kind of like repeat that like whole 13 years with nothing again. And even before Fear Inoculum, like, What was the time span between albums? It was like maybe like 3 or 4 at
most. It was 2006 for 10,000 Days.
Yeah, Letter Alice between 10,000 Days. I was like 2001, 2006. Okay, so 5 years. So like, you know, 2025, 6 years after Fear Inoculum, it could work or something like that, you know, like.
If they're in studio now, it's plausible. I can actually say it's possible. Yeah. Alex and Rowan, have you ever seen Tool live?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was also going to say, like, remember back in 2022, they did a re-release of Opiate, which, you know, just seems like so, like, you know, different coming from Tool, you know, like you would never really think they would do that. So I don't know. Like, I feel like they are just trying to be more productive this time.
Right. And I think that's fair, too. Also, they've been consistently touring. So if they've been active like that for that long, because for a long time, they were not even touring when they were in label and legal nightmares and things like that after 2006. I do think it's possible. So I also say this to you guys as well. Depending on how big of Tool fans you are, I don't know. I didn't really prep you guys for this. Do you think it will be more like the jam sessions of Fear Inoculum? Do you think it'll just be these men in their 50s, now 60s? I mean, Maynard's 60 years old. Doesn't look it, but still. What do you think we could expect from New Tool? Because in my mind, I don't even know what I would expect at this point.
I honestly think that's pretty much it. They're just going to go do whatever the hell they want to do. And
that's kind of just what they do all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we can really prep ourselves for anything because it's Tool. And they're going to do what they do.
We might get a 25-minute song. It might be that way.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was about to say, I'm thinking, like, maybe if anything, they would be, like, more instrumental, just have, like, more instrumental breaks. Because, like, again, they're just, like, their whole writing process is that, like, the three, like, musicians just jam until they have, like, something and just send it Maynard's way. And then, like, so who knows what they come up with during, like, these very long time periods between albums.
Yeah. I mean, I think about stuff like that too, where Maynard does whatever he wants anyway. And he usually puts the lyrics last after all the music's been written. It'll be interesting to see what he writes after 5 years of American political turmoil and nightmare and stuff, because he does like to have some of that influence in Tool's music. Tempest won the Grammy for best metal performance that year, the year after the album came out. And that's a fairly politically charged song. They might go that route. They might go totally bonkers nutter butter and just do the weirdest stuff you can imagine. All I know is they will do well. And I wanted to lead in this before we move on. I don't know if you guys remember in 2019 when they finally announced the album and it was chaos. Rainbows finally started shining. This was 1 week after Taylor Swift's album came out. The new album she had. And boy, oh boy, was it Tool versus Taylor Swift fans. And the Swifties didn't know who Tool were because they were too young. And it caused massive uproars. I remember this too,
because this is also like the same time that Tool finally put their albums on streaming services that stuff.
Yes.
I remember that because I was so excited when they did that. Because for the longest time, it was YouTube and CDs for me. That's how I consumed Tool. So, yeah. Like, this was my dream. And then, like, when I know exactly what you're going to say. Like, Tool, like, charted above Taylor's albums. And there were just, like, all the jokes.
On week one, so Queen Taylor, don't come after me, Swifties, was only number one for 1 week. Keep in mind, Taylor Swift's doing just fine after the last year of stadium tours around the world and her Super Bowl winning boyfriend and everything else. So I'm sure she's going to recover. Now, if Tool announced a new album a week after Taylor again, then, you know, Maynard's trolling.
Yeah.
So
I remember this. I remember like Maynard shared a meme someone made where they superimpose his face onto Thanos snapping the Infinity Gauntlet, and then Taylor just like crumbles into dust. And I just thought that was like really funny when I saw that.
That's the year Endgame came out also. Too soon though.
Exactly. Soon. Yeah. Still 2019. That was just like,
We shall see what happens with New Tool. We'll make all the news we can as soon as we get more information out. As soon as a new song comes, that's when it's going to blow wide open. So.
Oh, totally.
We shall see. Yeah. Good stuff. Now we move on to, I don't know how else to really get into this, but with explaining it, and boy, oh boy, it's going to be a weird one. This kind of goes into upcoming tour news. So I'll let Alex lead after this upcoming one, just because this is also a big story for us to dive into. El Nino, big band from the early 2000s, late 90s. I was never that huge into El Nino, but I was very aware of the name, you know, heavy music. They've been around for a while. Well, they're going to do a tour of Europe, but they're going to have a guest singer. And that guest singer is none other than Tommy Vext, former Bad Wolves, booted from the band, booted from many social media websites. Sorry. Played a lot of bar and grills the last couple of years for some of his very wild takes. Boy, have I cleaned up that summary nicely. Now, I've made my thoughts clear about Tommy Beck's everything about what's happened over the last few years. I'm not going to get into all that. However, I want you two to guys to say whatever you want. And also in the chat room as well, have you guys followed El Nino at any point?
I want to take it kind of away from Tommy Vex to start. Yes, yeah. He is fronting the band. He's going to be doing this European tour with them. They've been friends for years, yes. As we know, and
this
we've
is,
learned.
This is not a new hire, like just random. So
no. They've known each other for a very long time in the hardcore scene, New Jersey, New York, you know, the past 25 years.
Yes. Also, I'm sorry to interrupt. Someone just put in the chat. We're talking about two. Oh, here's a tool right here. Okay, I apologize. So, Alex, go ahead. I apologize. That deserved a fall accord.
So, like you, like I was saying, I'm going to take it away from Tommy Vext. We know this isn't a surprise. They've been homies for. I want to know what Marcus is doing. Like, why isn't he on the tour?
I was thinking the same thing because it didn't say in the press release or what it was copied there. Also, and things happen. I get that too. Like, Anne Berlin, alternative band, Stephen Christian. Had to bow out of this tour, so he has the singer of Memphis Mayfire covering for him. But that was very publicly known. They said that right from the beginning. And why? And all that was clear. This is not clear at all. And this is with a name that is quite polarizing. Again, I'm trying to skate around a lot of the past information on this. So that's why I want to ask the chat, too, like for El Nino fans, especially if you see this on the backlog, how do the El Nino fans feel about this? That's an interesting one to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. So, and this goes from someone who, again, I was not like super diehard following El Nino back in the day. They've been around for a while. I don't know. Like, say there's a band in the early 2000s that you were following and they stuck around for a while. And all of a sudden, Tommy Vex is going to sing for them. Okay. From the same, maybe roughly around the same thing, not the same style of music, POD. Okay. They've been around and touring since then. They're still active. They still put out albums. If for one day like this, you found out, Sonny's not going to be on this tour. It's going to be Tommy Vext. I wouldn't know what to think. I'd be a little weirded out by that.
I mean, as like a diehard fan, you'd probably be super bummed if anybody was replacing your favorite frontman. You know, that would be a bummer for sure.
Especially without full explanation. Go ahead, Rowan. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Like, not even like just like, again, not even like touching political stuff. Like, you know, again, if it was just like it. If it's just like someone you just don't even like care for or something like that, like, would you even still, does it even like sound even like still appealing to you? Cause like, yeah, you get the rest of the band, but like the singer and their voice, that's just a very big part of that band's identity, really. So I don't know. It's just like a thing where it's like, would it still feel like the same?
Yeah. And I'm like, again, I don't know if it's how it's going to work out. Obviously they've known each other for years. They've been friends. So you can't say this is like a random hire. You can't say this is an emergency fill in. I know Five Finger Death Punch had some problems with Ivan Moody back in the day. And they had to get like fill in vocalists. Like they had Phil from All That Remains. I think they had Tommy Vex, one of them too. So it wasn't like an urgent thing, you know, like they're already on the road. I just think it's interesting. They didn't give an explanation of why Tommy Vex is going to be filling in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I want to know what's Marcus doing. Yeah. Is it some, I mean, it could be something super simple. We could just be speculating.
But, yes. And it just says on the, like the press releases we got, including this one, will not be performing Marcos Leaf.
Yeah.
So Alex, I'm going to be honest. I don't really have a lot of like history of like El Nino. So is Marcus like the original singer?
Marcus
he's like the mastermind behind the it vocalist. Too. Yeah. He's,
yeah.
And is it like a ministry thing or something like that? Or like,
no, not like that, but still,
no.
But he's like been the focal point for a long, long time.
Okay. Yeah. So really it's just more like, okay, for some reason, this guy who would be fronting is just not playing the show for some reason. We're just bringing Tommy Vexton. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just weird that we don't have a reason or an explanation as to why Marcus isn't joining them on the European tour. The Tommy Vex thing makes sense because they've been friends for so long. Sure. That totally.
Yeah. No. Okay. It does.
You have to put aside his odd opinions on things. You have to put that aside. You understand why, but I don't know. I guess I just seeing this out of the blue really, I think, took all of us kind of back a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
So El Nino fans, let us know what you think. I'm being honest about that, too. I want to know what you think. Which, say they come to America with this, because this could be for a European tour. If they try to do this in the States, would you come to see that? Knowing it's not going to be Marcos, it's going to be Tommy Vext. I don't know. I don't know.
That might actually be tougher because, like, you know, Tommy Vext's stuff is about American politics, like his history. I'm not going to dwell on what those politics are, but like that in itself would just be more of a hot issue in this side of the world.
Right. So let us know your thoughts. We're going to cruise through a few more of these. We are at, let me see the like count right now. We are at 42 likes, 3 more likes on the video, and we'll do a festival rock or flop. Please, please get those likes in, guys. We want to see if we can repeat the success of last week. Well, someone just said, even if I'm a fan, I won't go. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. So I can't argue, you know, I don't know. So before we get to the other tours, let me go into this really quick. For all the Sleep Token fans, I myself am a fan. They're getting more visual with the Teeth of God graphic novel. They had the signups for pre-releases for their fan base, their fan club that happened this yesterday. Sumerian's releasing it. They will have more public copies made out and as more information comes out as well. This is going to sell like a ridiculous amount of copies right off the bat just to see the artwork and learn more about Sleep Token. This is going to be
pretty awesome.
I think it's awesome. I'm sure it's going to look amazing. It's going to be literally just a way to print money at that point for Vessel and Company. They're going to be rolling around in cash on stage. Yeah, I want to get one too. My wife and I want to get one. Yeah. But
I got it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just like, just because, like, just as like, you know, Sleep Token is just like a band that's just really leaned into just having its like own mythos, like Noir or Ghost or something like that. I am just so excited to see like what story you get out of that. Mm-hmm. I just say this as like as a Sleep Token fan. I know like all the music so far, the 3 albums have just been like are supposed to like tell a story as a trilogy and all that stuff. So I couldn't find like any like actual story information about the book. So I'm wondering what if it's like an adaptation or something like that, like Vessel's story
could be very cool. Adapted. Very cool to see.
I love that Sumerian is doing this because they've done this with a few other bands too. So they're doing it with Sleep Token now. They did a Bad Omens graphic novel run.
That one did well too, if I'm correct. Yeah.
Oh, and I think they did a few Noir comics too.
Yeah. So
I think they did. Yeah.
It's in good hands from the publication side. And I'm definitely excited to see what it's going to be like. I don't know how soon we'll get hands on a copy, but if it all works out well, we could be a good Christmas gift. Sleep Token. Freak out your parents too. Like really open it up in front of them. If you go home for the holidays, see, I'm into this new band and just show all the crazy artwork. Isn't Vessel sound dreamy? And you see the mask. It'd be perfect. So
I actually did. I actually had that exact scenario happen. So this is like, because I was going to the Radio City show last May, that Easter, my aunt was like visiting my family and all that stuff. And she's like, oh, hey, you going to any concerts? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see this band called Sleep Token. It's like, oh, that's a weird name. What are they like? And I just show a picture of Vessel and she sees the mask. She sees like he's like in all black and she like physically recoils.
That sounds right.
It was hilarious. And my mom was just angry.
And then play a little bit, just make, and then sit them down, have them sit through the entire track of the summoning where they go through about 6 style changes. Just like sit down and let me know what you think.
Sorry, oh no, what I'm doing is when I'm introducing them as a joke, my go-to song is Vore.
You just one, got
that whole like.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Vore is great live, folks, by the way. If you get to have a chance to see Sleep Token live, do it. They are great.
Vore is unfortunately not part of the set list. They didn't play it.
Oh, they didn't for you. They did for us when Gretchen and I saw them last year.
No, they didn't. And I was like so upset because that's like literally like my favorite Sleep Token song. I still loved the show. Don't get me wrong. But it was like, I just wish I could have.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get new Sleep Token as well next year. Hopefully get more touring. They've proven they're making money hand over fist. This book is going to have them just rolling around in actual cash on their next tour too, which will be nice to see. Also, I do like Alex's idea of grandma, read me a story. Oh, I got a story for you. Just start reading from the Teeth of God. Merry it's Christmas, like, Billy.
No, just grandma just goes into a, she just goes into like, you know, you got me in a chokehold. Just starts singing the lyrics.
It just reads the lyrics like really sweet me.
Just you reads got the lyrics. Me I don't know.
Chokehold.
Chokehold. When we were made.
My, your eyes like fire. Oh, man. Ugh. Also, my lovely wife, who was made an instant fan as soon as she saw them live, just said, I'd buy a copy or five of Ghost Book as well. Because she's also asking if it would a ghost lore book sell well. Yes.
Oh, definitely.
It'd be ridiculous and over the top, but yes, it would sell well. So let's go now to some tour news. Alex, what other tours did you have coming up that I know you've been keeping track of a little bit in our group chat and stuff?
We covered El Nino already. Obviously, yes. That one's coming up. 25 years of Latin metal, European headlining tour with drama. But here in the States, funny enough, we do have a Bad Wolves and Pop Evil co-headlining tour coming up.
The other side of it. I did see the announcement of that. It's also have Oni on there too, opening up. Oni is great.
Oni and Sierra Pilot are going to be the special guests on this run. It's called the Animal Instinct Tour. That should be super rad.
Yes, I like it. Make animal noises if you go. If I'm correct, that goes through.
Is that what that was?
That's what I would do. Isn't Aru an animal? I'm pretty sure it is, right?
I didn't know what you were saying. I was just going with the vibe, man.
That's fine. That's fair. That's what my wife does all the time, too. Both of you got to learn how to get with that as well. Gretchen's shaking her head. Oh, goodness. Come on. She's in the chat right now. So I think that tour will be a fun one. I think their vibes will work pretty well. I know Pop Evil got a new drummer. And I know Bad Wolves with their new singer, DL. They're doing fine. So I think this is a tour that'll work out well. They are one stop in Virginia. That's not terribly far away from where I am. So they're doing decent sized venues.
Well, and Pop Evil's doing really well right now at radio. Mm-hmm. So they just released a brand new single. It's called What Remains. And it's doing really well at radio already. It just came out. And I mean, if this is kind of the new era for Pop Evil, this is a good intro to the tour. Teaming up with Bad Wolves. It's going to be a really good one.
I think that's a good call also. I think it'll do well. I hope people come early to check out Oni. Like, we played Oni several times on New Music Night streams when I did those last couple of years. Really good stuff. Really creative singer guitarist. I mean, he's great. So that being said, any other tour news that you had? I had one to add that I found out last minute.
Ooh, tell me about it.
Okay. So this is Riot Fest related, but this serves a point for good festival news. Okay. You might have to look at the screen once it pops up and refreshes on your guys' feed. But Riot Fest is coming up near the end of September. They announced the Riot Fest after shows. What does that mean? So Riot Fest does not do the same thing DWP and other festivals do. It's like saying you can't play any other shows within 60 miles of the venue for 3 months. Riot Fest says, oh, no. If you want to come to Chicago and play concerts after the festival to people that can't make the festival, you go for it. So they have every single concert venue in Chicago booked from Wednesday until Sunday, every night, for a lot of different bands that are also going to be at Riot Fest. So say, hey, I can only go on Saturday for Riot Fest, but there's some cool bands coming on Sunday to Chicago. They're going to stick around because they're not playing Riot Fest on Sunday. Pretty good idea, because Sum 41 is going to kick it off on Wednesday. I can't make Riot Fest, but Sum 41 is going to do their show on that Wednesday. I love this idea. I know Shaky Knees in Atlanta has done this also. I wish this was more of a standard. I wish this was more of a thing that festivals allowed bands to do and venues to do for the people that cannot make a concert or a festival.
Also, by the way, I feel like just kind of like it helps with like maybe sort of the festival experience. Like maybe you're not into every band or and all that stuff. So maybe like there's a certain day with like a lot of bands that you do like. And then like all the other days, like you could just kind of like sort of like cherry pick what other bands from the other days you would just prefer to see, you know? So you're just kind of like, you know, you get that one really big like festival day experience, and then you just get to go to a bunch of concerts for the next couple of days.
Exactly. And I get it. Like festivals can be expensive too, but if you have enough money for one concert and one festival day, that could be your answer for that also. That also saves a lot. But you have all the variety too. So I don't know if you guys can see the screen.
You need it too.
If you guys see the screen, they have everyone from Sum 41, St. Vincent's, Manchester Orchestra, Basement, the return of all that stuff, Spoon, Something Corporate, Newfound Glory. All these bands or more are doing their own separate shows. And the days that they're on, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those shows, they're after the festival. Like they give you enough time to get to the venue.
I think that's super fun, because imagine just being a diehard and you're like, I want to go see St. Vincent so bad. And you get to go see St. Vincent at the festival, have the full festival experience, and then go to a more intimate setting to see that band again. Hell yeah, that is so fun.
Exactly. Especially for something like Sum 41, who's on their farewell tour.
Yeah.
You get it twice. I mean, there's so many more positives. Everyone wins, and it doesn't demand exclusivity to one event.
I love that.
Yeah. So I want to point it out. Go ahead.
If it proves to be profitable and popular and all that stuff, if it sells well, just like, you know, like maybe this will become the standard. Who knows? It's just be like the trendsetter.
I hope it does. And the way I see it as well, I can't see something like this eating into the profits of Riot Fest.
Yeah.
So why not? And give the bands more reason to come back to Riot Fest another year. Make it an event, you know? So that's I just wanted to show it off, because I like stuff like that. I like not only innovation on the business side, but also giving people and the bands and the fans more options. So
I also don't know how you would do it per se, but maybe even Riot Fest could even sort of like, you know, kind of like work together with other like music venues to sort of like, they're still kind of like, you know, controlling it. So like under their brand, really. So maybe like,
and it might be something like that. I'm not positive about that either way. It could be. But even so, the venues would probably jump for it then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyone else jealous? Win-win. Yeah, I do too. Anyone else jealous that a cool festival like this isn't in our town? I am a little bit. Yeah. You got to travel. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, have a nice sigh. I just looked. We are at 45 likes. We will be doing Festival Rocker Flop in just a few minutes. So, thank you, everyone. Keep hitting the like button.
Don't forget.
Again. Go ahead.
Don't forget, we still have new albums of the week.
Yes, and I wanted to get to that too. I just wanted to make sure I had everything checked off. If you have upcoming albums, let's go through it now, so that way we don't have to push that away as well.
Of course. Well, first of all, this one I am really excited for. It is Zeal and Ardor's fourth album, Grief. If you have not checked out Zeal and Ardor before, I highly recommend it. Their last two albums are two of my favorites that have just come out in the last couple of years. And seriously, like, they're coming to New York City in November. I forget the exact name of the venue, but I already know I'm going.
Okay. Yeah.
So, hey, any creeps in chat who think for some reason I'm worth kidnapping, you'll know where to find me. At least support the band and buy a ticket.
Wow.
But
I don't know if that's a statement we really want to make on the podcast, but okay, we'll move it. We'll go with it.
Oh, sorry about that, man.
We're not having Tommy Vex fill in on the podcast for an empty slot. I promise. No.
So besides Zeal and Ardor, we also got Within the Ruins, a metalcore band with Phenomena 2. And we also got John Anderson and the Band Geeks releasing True. If you don't know who John Anderson is, he is the former lead singer of Yes. So, you know, the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure band.
Yeah. That is interesting. And I did not know he had a solo stuff coming out. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like John Anderson and the Band Geeks, not just John Anderson. So he's got like a whole like kind of like band. Yeah.
Very cool. Good selection. I do want to check out the Zeal and Ardor. Good to see that new stuff is coming out. Yeah. It'll be bonkers, but in a good way.
We were talking about Sleep Token earlier. If you're a fan of Sleep Token, you would be a fan of Zeal and Ardor. They have that sort of the same sort of like sense of genre bending that Sleep Token fans appreciate. So again, highly recommend it.
I met the singer and one of the other ones, the guitarist, like the only two that speak English in 2019. Oh, Manuel. They were super nice. Yeah, Manuel. And they're super nice people.
Yeah.
Super nice.
I do know. I was going to try and say his last name, but I have no idea how to pronounce it.
It's a beast. Also, I'll speak on behalf of all of this. I'm very glad that most bands now are filled with nice people. It's not the generation of the 80s where if you're in a rock band, you really are a terrible person. You're living off a breakfast of cocaine and razor blades just because it's the idea. And backstage is a party every night. It's not like that anymore.
You're just basically a frat bro with long hair and tight pants.
Kind of.
You appreciate that it's not super, super debauchery all the time now, too.
Yes.
I mean, they all still have fun, but it's not like ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're a complete, you know, nobody likes that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a crime scene every backstage event and party for every concert every night.
Dude, backstages get rowdy if we have like vitamin water these
yes,
days.
Yes, they really do. You'll have security and like tour manager going, who are you? What are you doing with that? What's in that? Why are you here? Like, so
is yes. that Gatorade? What yes. are you drinking?
Our vocalist doesn't believe in aspartame. You have to get that out and leave.
Yeah, no, seriously. How dare you try to give him electrolytes?
Yes, exactly. So I will be very brief on story time, and then we will go straight into Festival Rock or Flop. I shot a very unique show, that being Primus with Coheed and Cambria, and it was awesome. This was my first time seeing Primus live. Like, actually, like, I've been at a festival with them before, but this was my first time, first concert seeing Primus. They sounded awesome this many years. This was in Richmond, Virginia. Les Claypool started off by saying, I'm from Richmond, California, and it's the exact same as Richmond, Virginia. I promise. Don't look it up. That's how it started. So I was like, that's kind of nice. Coheed and Cambria definitely gets the gold star for effort because Claudio was super sick. As it's the saying goes, sick happens on tour. The night before or two nights before they were in Washington, D.C., Claudio couldn't even talk. So it was a full karaoke version where the fans sang along to everything and they put lyrics up and stuff. He got to sing. I think they did cut a song short, but you could tell he was really struggling through. Hats off to Coheed and Cambria for trying to give everyone their money's worth. But the one person I want to talk about, and this was this unsung star, was one Puddles of Puddles Pity Party. He covered songs in his opening of his own recorded music. He plays piano as well, but it was all recordings. He covered Ozzy Osbourne, Celine Dion, the theme song to Gilligan's Island, and others in his opening set. And he sounded amazing with his crooning voice. Also, he's 6'8". He is a giant clown. And I mean, if that is not, you think this would be terrifying, but it's actually really fun.
Unless you're afraid of clowns.
6'8" clown, if you're already afraid of clowns and he starts singing to you in a very croony voice, the Gilligan's Island theme. Yeah, that could be probably a nightmare for the rest of your life. But it wasn't. It was fun. And also, he joined Primus on stage during Primus's set where they all covered Holy Diver from Dio. And it was good. So
it's awesome.
The South Park theme, Primus. Yeah. So I thought it was very cool. I just wanted to share that out. The photos and some of the footage is on there on the website. Just that scene of Primus behind a 6'8" clown on screen right now really is the perfect depiction of that night. So that being said, thank you guys so much for your likes. Again, if you guys have any super chats you do want to get in for questions you want us to answer, get them in now, because right now it's time for Festival Rock or Flop. This is where we book a 5-band festival for one day. We have over 200 bands in a randomizer, and we don't know what's going to happen. After we pick 5 bands at random, we ask the chat, would you go to this festival? Yes or no? Thank you all for hitting the like button so much. Please continue to do so. Thank you guys so much for banging out here. Alex and Rowan, are you ready for what could be great or a disaster?
Let's go.
Okay. Right, see, you can tell I'm not cheating. This is the file generator. You can see it right there on screen. You know I'm not screwing around. Let's get this going. Select this folder. First up, Switchfoot.
We had Switchfoot before.
We did. Oh, over 200 bands, and Switchfoot came up again. That's impressive. We're going to that West.
Was still in the first one, right?
Yes.
In the first one we ever did.
I believe so, yes. Because we did 2 rounds the first time, too, remember, so.
Yeah, but that was the one with Butcher Babies as well, right?
Yes, correct. So.
Yeah.
That one was not nearly as bad. Switchfoot.
Oh, yeah, no.
West Coast pop rock, alt pop, whatever you want to call it. They had good older hits, and they were fun live. Up next.
We still got 4.
We just talked about them. Fresh recency bias, apparently. Primus.
All right. That's an interesting combo.
I told you.
Yeah.
I added the new stuff. By the way, there's a horse head, like just a rubber horse Halloween mask right behind Les Claypool on screen right now. It is a weird looking image, and it's just that. So it'll pop up on your screens eventually, folks. Jeez. Okay. Getting the California bands. So far, here we go. All That Remains. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
There's going to be a very diverse fan base at this festival.
Goodness, you're right. Wow.
Yeah.
Super weird.
It's all over the place. I'm not saying I flat out hate it. I'm just saying I don't know who it's going to appeal to mostly.
It would just be a very, very odd
combination
event.
Of people. Yes, yes, yeah. It would. That's fair. Number four. Where'd you go? Number four. The Dillinger Escape Plan. If we weren't having enough chaos before, let's get the band that actually breathes on chaos. I love it. By the way, that is the singer of Dillinger Escape Plan and Better Lovers with a microphone in his mouth. Why does he have that mic in his mouth? Because he was moving the speakers around at Chicago Open Air so he could jump around more on stage, but he didn't want to have to stop mid-song, so he just, like, put his teeth and put the mic in his mouth and then picked up the speakers and moved it while the band was playing. That's why he's doing that.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yes. So, Dillinger Escape Plan. We are all over the map. Number five. I don't know how I feel about this, but here we go.
Come on.
Oh, no!
AJR!
No!
What is this festival? I said in the beginning that I didn't think we could get worse than that second... like run around in this, but like,
see, folks, wow. I knew what random generator could do to all of us. Now, I'm not saying there's not bands worth seeing. There totally are. Primus, you just heard I loved it. Dillinger Escape Plan is a spectacle. Switchfoot's nice. It's a nice band to see. All the Remains I'm not crazy about. AJR legit has a puppet show during their concerts now.
Okay, you know what? You like, know what? I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this, if there's one thing that would get me to want to go, like actually want to go, it would just be to see all these fan bases for all these bands interact with each other. I would just love that. That would be a spectacle in itself.
I'm just thinking...
You two have fun at the show.
You see Dillinger Escape Plan fans react to AJR's puppet show.
I was thinking the same thing. Dillinger Escape Plan's going to lead into AJR. That alone is bonkers. All That Remains, Switchfoot. Let's go, yeah, let's do it this way. Okay, how about this? Primus leading into AJR. Poll is open. I'm going to leave it up for 60 seconds.
It would be a better transition.
Yeah, so, okay. So I'll be picking you guys up at 4. Be ready. We got a festival to run. We got to be there.
Yeah. Town. Sorry.
I feel like I'll be pounding on both your doors and not get an answer. You'll be hiding with the lights off in the kitchen.
You got something going on that day.
If he's quiet, he'll leave.
Yeah, I might just flee the country, so good luck for finding me.
Jeez. You're gonna put some money just to get out of this. Okay. I do feel if we had a better headliner, it would have been salvageable. I'm not saying amazing. If it was a better headliner, it would have been something salvageable.
It would have had a solid headliner, though.
Yes, yeah, that's
again,
fine. Again,
I would probably just like go there, just get like a bowl of popcorn, and just watch again. Dillinger Escape Plan fans reacting to AJR because that would just be hilarious.
You're going for the people watching, not for the bands.
I am.
Okay.
That would probably be more entertaining.
I just want to point out to everyone as well. In this file, I have Metallica, I have AC/DC, I have Judas Priest, I have Iron Maiden, I have newer bands, I still have Slipknot in there, Deftones, I have lots, but this is what you get.
Not always rock.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat and people are just saying.
Yeah, my wife just made the best comment. All those fans standing in the merch line, what a mess.
Yeah, no. AGR fans getting crowd killed during Dillinger. Way to traumatize kids. A lot of alcohol would be needed.
There'd be a big wall.
Oh my
god,
I love you guys.
A big wall of death before AJR. Yikes.
Oh my god. See, yes. This is what I'm saying. This would be worth it.
I'm not saying. Would it make money? Would it actually get people to buy the tickets? That's the problem. I don't know if it would. I don't know if it would turn a profit, is what I'm saying.
In a perfect world where all these fan bases would still go see these bands, and I get to just watch the chaos unfold.
Let's see the poll. I don't have great expectations. At the end of the day, we have 56% of the fans saying no. That's actually a lot closer than I thought.
Yeah.
You guys were generous, and that's fine. I don't know. Does anyone else feel a little left down? Like, not let down, but just kind of stunned by that one.
Yeah. It's like, what are you supposed to think?
Yeah.
Who put this festival together?
Yeah. Who at the talent buying department of this radio station was drunk for a week straight when they contacted?
Dartboard. It had to be more than just being drunk. They had to be fine.
We'll combine both. They had a dartboard and they were drunk, and that's how they came up with this lineup. Is that fair? Does that make sense?
All right.
This was an understandable flop. I apologize to everyone, but that's how this works. Can I, before we go, I don't think I can show it on here because I can't show it. But yeah, guys, I have over 200 bands. Great stuff. You saw last week, Alice in Chains, Queens of the Stone Age. Sometimes you get a flop and that's okay. So we can't all be winners. Just like Primus said, you can't all be zingers. So that being said, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Please, please share out the links. Leave comments if you're watching at this point. Leave comments on the YouTube page. That helps out immensely. And tell your friends. Word of mouth goes a long way for new podcasts like this, and it helps a ton. So please tell your friends, share whatever link you want. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, whatever it might be. Gretchen, you can't have your money back on this festival if you didn't pay for anything, and if it's not real.
We can make it real. Let's make it real.
Someone else just said all the money for this festival goes to the beer stands. Okay.
They owe me money for not showing up.
Yeah, well. That being said, now that the festival is an unfortunate flop, Alex and Rowan, do either of you have anything you want to end with before we get to Alex's word of wisdom? Alex, go for it. Nothing?
Nope.
Rowan, anything?
Nope.
Awesome. Just wanted to add really quickly, new video that we posted yesterday on the main channel, 10 great live performances from metal bands, Slayer, Ghost, Lamb of God, tons of others. Cool little trip down memory lane. If you want to see that, that's on the YouTube channel. Thank you guys again. Please keep sharing the links, telling your friends to show up. That being said, Alex, do you have anything you would like us to close with?
What do you call a man with no nose and no body?
Nobody knows.
Damn it. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I knew that. I ate popsicles and Laffy Taffys as a kid, so I know those jokes.
Dang it. Yep, nobody knows.
You know what? I'm giving myself that one. That is a victory for me. Thank you, everyone.
Proud of you.
Proud of you, finally. After all these years, I'm finally proud of you.
You're going places.